Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I am proud to bring you the Sixth Revelation, hosted by Michael and Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Mike and Diane. How are you?
Oh, we're great. Hi, everybody. Wonderful to be
here. Hey,
with
hello.
Wonderful friends. Hi, Nick.
Diane.
Gerald.
Michael.
Hi,
Gerald.
Hi.
I'm glad,
Hercules,
I'm glad,
everybody.
I'm glad that you're all
great
here.
Great to be with you.
I will be in the background. If you need me, just holler.
We will.
Okay.
We will holler. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Hercules, for this opportunity, especially during Christmas Eve 2021. We are so blessed to be with our wonderful friends whom we love. We are with, of course, our great friend Hercules, who has given us so many gifts. And we're with Nick, whom we love so much, and Gerald, whom we love so much. It's so great to have you guys here on Christmas Eve.
Great to be with you both, with all of you.
We have
Thank you, Nick.
Yes, Nick. We have a wonderful show tonight for the Sixth Revelation. I'm going to start out with a prayer and do a little song, and then we'll have Nick do talk a little bit, and we'll have Diane talk a little bit, and we'll have Gerald talk a little bit, and we will all talk a little bit. Just wanted to let you know before our prayer that we do have some wonderful, wonderful friends with us, some celestial friends tonight. They're with us. We just want to mention them, how wonderful they are. We have Divine Love Eros is here tonight. We have Rose Estelle, who is Lord Maitreya's female consort. Lord Maitreya is here tonight. Hestia is also here. Uriel, also known as Pluton, here. Dionysus is here tonight. Persephone, his consort. We have Aphrodite, also known as Venus. We have her male consort, Gabriel, also known as Hephaestus. We also have the Universal Father. We have Hyperion and Iapetus. And we also mentioned Uriel, already mentioned Uriel. They're with us tonight. They are the ones through whom the star shines.
Wow, we are in great company.
Dear Heavenly Father and Mother, Zeus and Hera, and all beneficent, celestial, and divine beings, we invite you all to be present with us this night on this wonderful Christmas Eve. We ask you to bless us, and we ask that you bless everyone in the world. May all of our hearts be open to divine love, and all of our minds open to divine truth. We are all, every one of us, the chosen ones. We are the shepherds of our own flocks. May we follow the star, the bright star, through whom you shine to a higher octave and a higher way of life here on earth and beyond. There's a star in the east on Christmas morn. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. It will lead to the place where Christ was born. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. If you take good heed of the angel's words, rise up, shepherd, and follow. You'll forget your flocks, you'll forget your herds. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. There's a star in the east on Christmas morn. shepherd and follow. It will lead to the place where Christ was born. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and follow.
Beautiful, Michael.
Beautiful. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, guys. Hey, it's wonderful to have you all here today. And gosh, I can't think of a more wonderful way to spend it than with all of you guys. And hey, Nick, you know, you are a star also, shining so brightly in this world. And you've been a star for us. You've been so supportive and so loving to us for years now, Diana's saying. Nick, I'd like you to share some of the some of your wonderful thoughts and some of your wonderful, you know, everything that you're doing for everyone on this earth, and to share a little bit of what you have prepared today from the Arantia book. So, Nick, we're very happy to have you. What have ye to say, sir?
Well, Michael, thank you so much for your very, very kind words. Certainly appreciated.
Yeah.
I thought I would start with a couple of quick little stories about when I was very young, and it was Christmas time, and my godmother was the one who would take me by the hand to a department store so I could buy a gift for my parents. Again, I was very young. And so we took the bus. We were in Springfield, Massachusetts, and we went into town to a place called Steiger's, which was a super large department store. It was the biggest store at that time in Springfield, Mass. And we got there, and of course, everybody was shopping. It was a few days before Christmas, and we spotted something we had never seen before. Again, I was very, very young. The Steigers just had bought the very first escalator for the town of Springfield. And we saw for the first time an escalator. And we couldn't believe the stairs were moving. So my godmother said, Nick, let's go ahead and get on. So she took me by the hand, and we kind of scurried over to the staircase and started walking on the stairs. What we realized quickly was that my godmother had put us on the down staircase. So we were walking up a staircase that was going down. The escalator was going down. And we were walking and not getting anywhere at all. And finally she said, Nicky, I think we're on the wrong one. I'll never forget that. It was like one of those crazy, crazy moments that you see in a comedy. Another thing I wanted to tell you about was very young, and my dad bought a live 8 or 10 foot Christmas tree, and he placed it in the kitchen so it could defrost because it had been outside. It was newly chopped, and it was nighttime, and my mother was sitting in the kitchen reading the newspaper and catching up on the news. This is a few days before Christmas, and my dad was downstairs in the basement, probably looking at one of his ball games or some kind of game there, and on the television, and all of a sudden, my mother noticed where the Christmas tree was placed in the kitchen beside her, and she noticed that something was moving. She heard something, and she looked in the tree, the Christmas tree, and she saw movement.
Uh-oh.
And she just didn't know what to do. And then she saw a furry little creature shimmy down the frozen Christmas tree that had the little guy had lived in that tree, I guess, and clung to it. And it must have been terrorized because it was on the top of my father's car, and it rode all the way home in the Christmas tree. And there it was in the kitchen coming shimmering down the tree. Well, my mother saw the little creature, got up on a chair and started screaming. My father heard her. He was in the basement playroom, and he ran upstairs and saw the little creature, opened the front door. It was freezing cold, the New England winter, and with a broom, kind of scurried the little guy to slowly leave the premises.
Oh,
I'll never forget. That's one of those little stories you just can't get over. It was amazing.
So
one last thing is that, again,
yeah.
I'm very young. I had a younger sister, Peggy. She was a couple, 2 years younger than me. And it was Christmas morning. And, you know, when kids wake up on Christmas morning, this is the big time. This is the big day. And we went downstairs with our bathrobes and slippers, and the tree was lit, and Santa had been there, and there were presents all under the Christmas tree. So this was the what we really was hoping would happen. We were good. We had been very good. And so we had amazing presents to open. And I remember that my father said, you know, Santa might want something to eat and drink when he visits us. So my mother made chocolate chip cookies, and my father poured a little glass of red wine because he said Santa would like that and could warm up. So the little glass of red wine and the chocolate chip cookies were there near the fireplace for Santa to have when he visited us. And
oh,
those
goodness.
Are some of my memories.
Wow, how sweet. Hey, I don't know, was it a little squirrel that was in the tree, you think?
I don't think it was a squirrel. I don't think it was that. I don't know what it was.
Like maybe a little chipmunk or something?
It could have been a chipmunk. I'm thinking maybe something like that. And it was a baby, a little guy, little guy.
Oh, just a little guy, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, what I want to know is, were the cookies and wine gone?
You bet they were.
Okay.
You bet they were. And I'm sure that Santa really enjoyed them, really did.
Oh, that's fantastic. That the story of the little creature in the tree reminds me of, you know, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. I don't know if you guys
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious. Well, Nick, we tonight we're talking about the star. We're talking about the shepherds and the wise men coming to the star to see this new way of life, this new Christ light. We know in the Urantia book that our local universe father, our creator son, Michael, he came to this earth, and according to the sixth revelation, he comes all the time. But we're told that this God, this Christ Michael, he comes to our earth, and he has come to our earth in the form of Jesus of Nazareth in the Urantia book. Can you tell a little bit about that and share a little bit about that?
Sure. Michael, if you'd like, I have put together the paper 122 of the Urantia book, the birth and infancy of Jesus, and the section 8 is called the birth of Jesus. It takes a 4 or 5 minutes, but you want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's a wonderful story, and it really has a lot of detail that until the Urantia book I never knew. So, okay, here we go. All that night Mary was restless, so that neither of them slept much. By the break of day, the pangs of childbirth were well in evidence, and at noon, August 21, 7 BC, with the help and kind ministrations of women fellow travelers, Mary was delivered. A male child, Jesus of Nazareth, was born unto the world, was wrapped in the clothes which Mary had brought along for such a possible contingency, and laid in a manger nearby. In just the same manner as all babies before that day and since have come into the world, the promised child was born, and on the eighth day, according to the Jewish practice, he was circumcised and formally named Joshua, or Jesus. The next day after the birth of Jesus, Joseph made his enrollment, meeting a man they had talked with two nights previously at Jericho. Joseph was taken by him to a well-to-do friend who had a room at the inn. again, the inn was, of course, very crowded at that time, and who said he would gladly exchange quarters with the Nazareth couple, which is, again, wonderful. That afternoon, they moved up into the inn where they lived for almost 3 weeks until they found lodgings in the home of a distant relative of Joseph's. The second day after the birth of Jesus, Mary sent word to Elizabeth that her child had come and received word in return inviting Joseph up to Jerusalem to talk over all their affairs with Zacharias. The following week, Joseph went to Jerusalem to confer with Zacharias. Both Zacharias and Elizabeth had become possessed with a sincere conviction that Jesus was indeed to become the Jewish deliverer, the Messiah, and that their son John was to be his chief aide, his right-hand man of destiny. And since Mary held these same ideas, it was not difficult to prevail upon Joseph to remain in Bethlehem, the city of David, so that Jesus might grow up to become the successor of David on the throne of all Israel. Accordingly, they remained in Bethlehem more than a year, Joseph, meantime, working some at his carpentry trade. It goes on from there that at the noontime birth of Jesus, the seraphim of Urantia assembled under the direct doors to sing anthems of glory over the Bethlehem manger, but these utterances of praise were not heard by human ears. No shepherds nor any other mortal creatures came to pay homage to the babe of Bethlehem until the day of the arrival of certain priests from Ur, who were sent down from Jerusalem by Zacharias. It goes on to say these priests from Mesopotamia had been told sometime before, and now this is interesting, by a strange religious teacher of their country that had a dream in which he was informed that, quote, the light of life, unquote, was about to appear on earth as a babe and among the Jews. And hither went these three teachers looking for this, quote, light of life, unquote. After many weeks of futile search in Jerusalem, they were about to return to Ur when Zacharias met them and disclosed his belief that Jesus was the object of their quest and sent them on to Bethlehem, where they found the babe and left their gifts with Mary, his earth mother. The babe was almost 3 weeks old at that time of their visit. And it's the last part of this says, these wise men saw no star to guide them to Bethlehem. The beautiful legend of the Star of Bethlehem originated in this way. Jesus was born August 21 at noon, 7 BC. On May 29th, 7 BC, there occurred an extraordinary conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in the constellation of Pisces. And it is this remarkable astronomical event that with similar conjunctions, according to September 29th and also December 5th of the same year. Upon that basis, these extraordinary but wholly natural events, the well-meaning zealots of the succeeding generation constructed the appealing legend of the Star of Bethlehem and the adoring Magi, led thereby to the manger where they beheld and worshiped the newborn babe. Oriental and near-Oriental minds delight in fairy stories, and they are continually spinning such beautiful myths about the lives of their religious leaders and political heroes. In the absence of printing, the most human knowledge was passed by word of mouth from one generation to another, and it is very easy for myths to become traditions, and for traditions eventually to become accepted facts. And that's the passage.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Good. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to continue that tradition of the three wise men. I've got a little song here. It's called We Three Kings of Orient Are.
Ah.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Bravo.
We three kings of Orient are. So we follow the star. There is a star. And, you know, a lot of legends, a lot of spiritual traditions talk about that star as being our sister planet, Venus, the bright and morning star, the brilliant evening star. This is the planet that's right next to us. It's Venus. And I don't know if you guys have seen lately, but gosh, within the last week or two, Venus has shown incredibly brightly and really big in our neck of the woods, and in the constellation of Capricorn with Pluto right there in Capricorn. And I just wanted to say, going back to the local universe father and how he embodied as Jesus, it's interesting in the Urantia book, a little bit before, of course, the life and teachings of Jesus in the earlier parts of the Urantia book, it talks about how a local universe father or a Michael Creator son creates a local universe of like 10 million inhabitable planets in a local universe, and that he has a divine minister, a co-sovereign. Eventually they become co-sovereigns of their local universe creation. But when they are finished with their local universe creation of 10 million inhabitable planets, they begin to create offspring, like, you know, celestial beings, like copies of themselves, but only more, having the attributes of both. And we are told in the Urantia book that the firstborn of our local universe father and our local universe mother was Gabriel, the bright and morning star. And we call him, the sixth revelation calls him Hephaestus in the Greek. Hephaestus is the offspring of Zeus and Hera. We call Zeus and Hera local universe father and local universe mother. So in a way, we kind of follow the star. With Neo-Theosophy, it talks about Venus as being kind of an inspiration to us in many ways, to the Earth, giving us ideas, helping us, looking after us. And the beings that are kind of the rulers of Venus, we're told, is Gabriel and Aphrodite, or Hephaestus and Lady Master Venus, Sanat Kumara, Lady Master Venus. But we're calling them Gabriel and Aphrodite, and that they are ruling the solar system through Venus, that they're on Venus, the planet Venus, on a higher octave, of course, ruling our solar system, and that at this time they are telling us that they are bringing to our Earth during this tumultuous time in the Earth's history the new worldwide religion of love. But I wanted to reinforce that with what I've just said, reinforce that with what the Urantia book says about Gabriel, about this bright and morning star. And I feel it's the star that the, you know, that the Nick talked about, the legends of the star, and, you know, the shepherds leaving their flocks and the wise men coming to see this new way, this new Christ. This is from paper 33 in the Urantia book. It's from part 2 called The Local Universe. And it talks about none other than Gabriel, the chief executive. I'll just read a couple little excerpts. The bright and morning star is the personalization of the first concept of identity and ideal of personality conceived by the Creator Son and the local universe manifestation of the Infinite Spirit. That's Michael of Nebadon and the Divine Minister of Nebadon. Going back to the early days of the local universe, before the union of the Creator Son and the Mother Spirit in the bonds of creative association, back to the times before the beginning of the creation of their versatile family of sons and daughters, the first conjoint act of this early and free association of these two divine persons results in the creation of the highest spirit personality of the Son and the Spirit, the bright and morning star, Gabriel. The firstborn of the parents of a new universe is a unique personality possessing many wonderful traits, not visibly present in either ancestor, a being of unprecedented versatility and unimagined brilliance. The thoughts and acts of the bright and morning star will ever be fully representative of both the Creator Son and the Creative Spirit. Such a being is also capable of a broad understanding of and sympathetic contact with both the spiritual seraphic hosts and, get this, the material evolutionary will creatures. I take this sympathetic contact, let me just read that one sentence. Such a being is also capable of a broad understanding of and sympathetic contact with both the spiritual seraphic hosts and the material evolutionary will creatures, that's us. So we have a relationship. We have a relationship with this bright and morning star, with this Gabriel. Just a couple little excerpts here. Aside from creation and life impartation of the Son and Spirit, the Son and the Spirit never confer upon important universe procedures without Gabriel's presence. So Gabriel's the chief executive of the local universe, and he's in there on everything with them. This universe executive was created fully endowed for his work, but he has gained experience with the growth and evolution of our local creation. And I just wanted to mention that in Neo-Theosophy that Sanat Kumara, whom we're calling Gabriel, is an ascended master of I think he's a Kumara, I think it's like the ninth degree or something of that nature, that these beings, we're told, are evolving also, and they're expanding in their experience. So Sanat Kumara is an ascended master in the Neo-Theosophy tradition, and here in the Urantia book, he's an ascended master too, because he's evolving. Gabriel is thus the combined chief executive of both the super and local universe rulers. He has at his command an able corps of administrative assistants created for their special work. And just to let you guys know, Gabriel, like I said, he works with us and the angels. Gabriel may employ any and all of the orders of celestial beings functioning in Nebadon, and he is also the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven, the celestial hosts. So the star is very important because we see the stars up in the heavens, guys. I mean, even the moon. Oh, and we saw the most beautiful rainbow today. Oh, it was so gorgeous. It was raining today here in sunny Southern California. We saw the most beautiful rainbow. I mean, you saw all the colors. It was just so gorgeous. But it's things like that. We look up in the heavens, and there are these huge stars, these lights that light our world, and we just wonder at them. We say, oh, my gosh, those go so much further beyond our human experience. What must be going on up there? What must be going on out there? And we're saying that Gabriel and Aphrodite under Zeus and Hera are really helping our planet. They're influencing our planet, making it a wonderful place for us, giving us inspiration and light. So the Worldwide Religion of Love, sponsored by Gabriel and Aphrodite from Venus, is something new and exciting for our world, guys. We're just so excited. And another person who's really excited is my lovely wife, Diane. Here she is.
Thank you, Michael, so much. And hi, Nick, and hi, Gerald, and hi, Hercules.
Hello there.
Hi, guys.
Happy holidays. Happy
what?
Holidays.
Oh, happy holidays to you. We just had a lovely Christmas Eve dinner, and we had friends come who delivered packages, and we've just really enjoyed this season so much. So, well, to get along with what Michael was talking about, I just wanted to reiterate that all religions on this earth came from the planet Venus. Now, that's what I'm told. I mean, people can say, oh, I don't know about that, but that's what we're getting from the celestials. They're saying the planet Venus is the headquarters of Jerusalem, as Michael keeps telling us. And in the Arantia book, Jerusalem is the headquarters. So, Taoism, Buddhism, Confucianism, all of those, Christianity with Gabriel, who is the king of Venus, brought us all of these religions. Gabriel gave the sutras to Muhammad. I mean, you can just keep listing them. And, of course, as Nick and Michael are talking about, came to Mary with a lily in his hand to announce the birth of Christ. Now, on the planet Venus is where the Melchizedeks are headquartered, which we didn't really, you know, we hadn't really thought much about. You read it about it in the Arantia book, but we just weren't thinking about it too much. But since we've learned about the Greek god Ares, who now we know is Seth in the Egyptian religion, but he also gave the Salem teachings to the earth from his headquarters on Venus. He has a headquarters there too, as Gabriel and Venus do. And these Melchizedeks who have come to the earth at different times, right now I am told that there are 11 of them on the earth at this moment, preparing the people for that great transition to the age of Aquarius, which will give us hope. And boy, don't we need it, guys. We need it. It says March 24th, 2023. Pluto will enter Aquarius, the constellation, and give our whole world hope. And then on March 10th, 2043, we have Pluto is entering Pisces, which will give us an age of enlightenment. So that's a wonderful thing. The only other thing I wanted to mention tonight was a lot of people don't know too much about the planet Venus. We look up there, even on pictures, and we just see a lot of red dirt, and we know it's very, very hot and so forth. But I wanted to give you a little information of what's going on or that we are learning just from our scientists today. They're saying 700 million years ago, Venus, which we're saying is the capital of Jerusalem from the Ranch Book, and on our material level 22, now I'm talking about just mainly what we can see up there. The scientists are talking what we can see. We know that there are many, many levels above that are celestial, and those are the levels where the Melchizedeks are, where Seth or Aries is doing his work, and Gabriel and Venus. But on that core that we can see, they're saying it was inhabited, they believe, the scientists today, for a few billion years until the material levels of Venus reached a relatively evolved state. Now, that means that they had life there, maybe life like we are, living here. They're saying Venus had a stable climate for billions of years with the ability to sustain life. Now, I don't know, guys, if any of you have heard of that before. Nick, have you heard that from scientists?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. It's Venus is so pivotal on so many writings. It's important. And can you imagine in our lifetimes if we can travel all the way to Venus and
right.
What discoveries await us? I mean, it's such an exciting time.
It is. It really is. And I know, Gerald, that you've probably, because you keep up on everything, but I had not heard this, that they think that Venus did have life for billions of years. Had you ever heard of anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with what Nick is saying, too, as well. And I don't know how many of us know, but there was a Venusian commander who actually came to Earth and spent 3.5 years in our Pentagon around
Captain Valiant IV.
Right. Exactly. And he was trying to convince us that it would be better to take help from the Venusians that they were offering rather than the Greys and the Draconians. And those in power decided throughout the world apparently decided otherwise. And that's why we've been through in our lives what we've been through. And the end is near, thanks to a great degree, the Venusians and other celestial beings as well. Yes.
Yes. This is an interesting story because now, Nick, you said you just had a meeting with Mr. Morningstar.
Well, I was on his program. He has an amazing program. 2 hours. There
uh-huh.
were a few other guests and me. And
uh-huh.
those 2 hours, Diane, they flew by. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I thought 2 hours was going to be forever. It went right by like a freight train. It was amazing. And Robert Morningstar is such an amazing guy. He has such knowledge, and he knows how to deliver the facts clearly and simply. And I love that about him. And it was quite an amazing adventure to be with him on this podcast, for sure.
Well, you know, I heard him give a lecture for 2 hours on Venus, and it was just thrilling. So we will keep him in mind and look him up on our internet. So what they're saying that Venus had stable temperatures between 4 degrees Fahrenheit and 122 degrees Fahrenheit for about 3 billion years. I mean, that means that they could have had, certainly, a humanity. It says, after this time period, from 700 to 750 million years ago, the celestials created a mass explosion of carbon dioxide on the surface of the planet through volcanic activity. That, we can see that happened, we know that, to produce the heated hothouse climate that we see today. Venus now has a surface temperature of 864 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, I'm not going to go on because I want Gerald to talk, but I just wanted to see if you guys had heard anything, because this is an incredible revelation, and I was never taught that in school, So, but now I want to go on to Gerald. And Gerald, how are you this evening?
Well, Diane, and thank you, Nick, and thank you, Diane, and thank you, Michael, for everything that you have that you've talked about that prefaces this tribute to the Celestials, the magnificent Celestials who are here with us tonight, because this is part of ongoing revelation, which we're all involved with as well. Thanks to all of you. And I'm humbled and very grateful and appreciative to be able to be here. But this, we talked about, Nick talked about the morning star, the star that of Bethlehem, and Michael tagged on to that, and the title of this is From the Celestials, is Light is Being Born Even in Darkness. And this is a message we strongly feel inside as the world is changing and shifting daily at this time. We all are probably also feeling or noticing a change in our world, in our own energy. There are waves of new energy and light entering the energetic collective field of Earth. Don't we know it? We are receiving light codes and frequencies that are connecting us to the field of oneness. In receiving in this field, we are able to tap into and feel the connection that we have with all souls who are currently incarnated and with our soul family beyond the physical reality. These connections are now established faster and are much clearer. Before, it was less easy to establish because the veil was thicker. Now it is much more accessible, and it manifests much faster into our physical reality. We have a hotline to our spirit guides and light beings. So whichever we request will appear much faster. So we have to really be on top of our thoughts in every moment. We can now become more aware of our natural abilities because at this point they are enhanced and will continue to become stronger each week. We are expanding in ways that we have not yet before. Those who have already been aware will be the pillars of light and hope for those who are turning inward and discovering the hidden truth of their own higher consciousness and supernatural abilities. More and more humans are awakening each week. And because of this, a field of oneness is becoming more palpable and real as we are consciously starting to make connections through our heart-mind consciousness. These heart connections are taking effect like an invisible network of light. We may not see it with our sensory eyes, but we are actually connecting through the energy of resonance with others near and far from us because of our higher vibration that matches. This network of light runs through the entire world and supports others who are awakening so that they can plug in and access what they need. as we start to question beliefs and information that is presented to us from other sources who are accessing and opening their own source connection and tapping into the universal truth. It is this field of universal energy that will allow for the collective as a whole to rise above division and separation and start to use the wisdom of the higher heart mind over the logic and ego of the human mind. This basic system is now upgraded to an advanced energetic version, and this is what is taking place right now. We can expect more of us to become aware, expect more support, expect to see others like ourselves from unexpected places. We have allies, and we are holding the light for others so that they can see beyond the vision of the mundane world. Our world is about to get more expanded, and we will experience freedom in a way we have always dreamed possible. The time of fighting, arguing, and battling is coming to an end. Hold on tight, even if it gets dark, because it is from this darkness that light is born. And that is a strong revelation. Thank you, Celestials. We ask for change, and change is here. So now it is time to persevere and hold our light strong. We can ground our essence into our body and into the earth, our beloved Gaia, so that we can stay steady for those who will need our strength. We are holders of the light, and our network is extensive. We can trust in our abilities as a collective of conscious beings. Our light is becoming so big as more lights are being turned on from within. We can trust in ourselves and trust in humanity. We are the light pillars, the pillars of light, of the divine light in this world. Thank you.
Wow. That is incredible. Earl, you did it again, man. That was so beautiful.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much, Gerald, for that. Thank you so much, sir. A thought was coming to me while you were talking about the light and how we have sources. We have a lot of sources that are bringing more light and infusing us with more light. I was thinking of all of the people I come in contact with at my job, and just life in general. Are they willfully opening? Is there something within them that is willfully opening them to the light and to this new way to function in the higher octaves? Or is it the Celestials who are opening, let's say, the people that aren't necessarily in tune with spiritual things, with thinking deeply? Is it coming from within us? Is it the Celestials who are doing this, or a combination? What do you think?
It's absolutely coming from within us, and the Celestials are always there. The energy is always prevalent, but it won't anywhere in violation of free will until the choice is made within each individual. So anyone you see beginning to emanate light, that's an individual. And Michael, it could be unconscious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in many respects it can be, especially with what's going on now. We're still heavily in 3D modality, but moving out so fast, that it's blind. It's unbelievable how fast it's happening.
Yeah.
So Michael, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Please.
Just a very quick comment to Gerald is that one of the women in my group, Disclosure Network New York, we were talking, and she said, Nick, I know who you are. I said, what do you mean? And she said, and this Gerald, she said to me, you're a light warrior. And I love that. The moment she said that, I said, what an honor. I adopt that. That is so beautiful. I wanted to share that with you, Gerald.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And so are you.
Thank you.
Wow, let's start the Light Warrior Foundation.
don't you love that phrase? The moment she said it just absolutely resonated big time.
Wow.
You know, along those lines, Nick, that's a beautiful thought. There's Carl Jung talked about the magician archetype. And one of the most powerful archetypes on the planet, and many shaman are aware of this throughout the indigenous peoples of the planet. But with the thought that came to me at this point, and it was actually kind of in a hypnagogic state, awakening from a dream, is spiritual coyote.
Mm.
That takes some contemplation, because something about the coyote. We have a dog. She's not a dog. She's she's a being, a fifth dimensional and beyond being. She's half coyote, and her name is Lady Grace, and she takes us for walks. You know, we follow her. She's that good, and she'll go up to people. But the point is that the coyote in the shamanic tradition usually is one that will bring forth a lot of what's going on and kind of bring some humor to it, but open it up. So the difference between the magician archetype, which is, I think, probably a lot of the secret societies are within that archetype, is moving to a very spiritual coyote-type archetype where it's completely open. Everything is open. Everything on the internet and within the next 10 years, most everything will be open source. That's where we're going. Complete authenticity.
Well, Diane and I see some of the traditional structures breaking down that have guided people for 2,000 years, you know, religiously and culturally. A lot of them are breaking down, and others are opening up. There's an opening, you know, like you're saying. We're seeing that too, you know. This COVID sure hit a lot of those churches, a lot of those temples and spiritual traditions, meeting places, support groups, community support. And things are so so up in the air, and I'm hoping, my hope is that it will open to the spirit, open to Gabriel's divine truth, and Aphrodite's divine love.
That's exactly what's going to happen, and history and herstory in the future will look back and say, that was what COVID, what vaccine, they didn't exist. The vaccine was a bioweapon. COVID was a hoax. Mm-hmm. They didn't exist, either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Except in the minds of the people.
Well, Diane and I, we will pray. we will pray for a new opening on this Christmas Eve, that all of our celestial friends here tonight, Eros, Estelle, Maitreya, Hestia, Uriel, Dionysus, Persephone, Venus, Gabriel, all of them here and all of our beneficent celestials will open us all up to this new star that we see in the sky, this new Christ, this new way, this new Tao, so that we may be more fulfilled and this earth may be a better place. That is our wish than ever before. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
I have to interrupt at
this
point because we have less than 5 minutes left in the show. I do want to add, though, that the last Wednesday of the month when we'll be meeting, some of these questions will come up at that time. I'll send you a prepared list
before we air the
show.
Okay.
So, Michael and Dan, I hand it to you to close.
Okay. Well, again, guys, what a beautiful Christmas Eve this is, and a special time for all of us. We appreciate you all being here for the sixth revelation, some new ideas and some fun ways of thinking about our spiritual connection with the celestials. And we just want to say thank you to the people that might be listening for hanging in there and exploring with us, because we are exploring and we're evolving through these experiences. These wonderful conversations, too, help us to grow. If you'd like to contact some of us, we're going to give some contact information. Nick, would you give us your information where they can reach you and explore what you have to offer?
Thank you, Michael. Yes, if you'd like to ask a question or give me a comment, I would welcome that. My email is nicknyny1, and it's the numeral 1, not O-N-E, but the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Again, nicknyny1 at gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Nick. All right, and Gerald.
Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D, T as in Thomas or Trouble, whichever you prefer, Gerald T. Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y, that's F as in family, at hotmail.com. And the telephone is 503-385-8480, always here.
All right. Thank you so much, Gerald. And our contact information, we have a YouTube channel. We have over 110 videos now of our celestial team meetings, our songs, and some of our artwork and some special presentations. It's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-A-N-D, and Diane with two N's, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. That's Michael and Diane Duncan. That's our YouTube channel. And also you can check out our five albums, your Rancho Book-inspired albums on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. Just search for Reverend Michael Duncan. And how about you, Hercules? Can you tell us about your Facebook?
Well, currently what I'm working on is our New Age of Heroes initiative, which will focus on the quest for optimal wellness, both individual and for our greater communities. So that's going to be one of the focuses for 2022. The best way to reach me is on Facebook, Hercules Invictus, or at hercules.invictus@gmail.com.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Hercules, for this opportunity. Nick, God bless you. We love you. Gerald, God bless you. We love you. Hercules, God bless you. We love you. Say hi to Athena for us. Tell her we wish her all the best. And we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless you all, and God bless the world. Thank you.
Hercules, thank you for having us.
All right.
thanks to all of you, and thanks to all our listeners. Happy holidays to all, and onwards.
Yes, and upwards, sir. Thank you so much, Hercules. God bless you all. Thanks, guys.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Love you all. Good night.
All right, love you, too. All right.